Steve, first of all, clarify something for me, will you?
Yes.
Lee Frecklington. A lot of the, I must say, the reputable stats sites say he's got four yellow cards. Is he suspended tomorrow?
Yes, one game.
Right. Where's the fifth one then?
I don't know. All I got was the confirmation from the club this morning that Lee thought he'd four. I thought he'd four as a manager, but the FA have told us this morning he's got five, so we have to obviously acknowledge and accept that's the situation.
He's got four in five then, so he's got another one earlier in the season. What's happened? Because he'd only got one in seven or eight games and now he's got four in five.
Well, I think it has to be said. We think we've been on the wrong end of some really bad decisions. And whether that comes to be cautions, denials of goal-scoring opportunities, lack of giving us penalties. And we're in the run of it. I'm not questioning MD's integrity, but it seems to be that, you know, we've had a little run of everything that could go against us. Happens to be going that way, but I look at a caution count again from Saturday, and I look at our midfield. You know, we've got, you know, Rob Mielsen, Ben Pringle, Kieran Agard, Michael O'Connor, you know, Lee Frecklington. There's not a hard tackling, dynamic midfield player, and they're all ball players. But we seem to be in the middle of when there's an opportunity to give us a yellow, we have a yellow.
So Michael O'Connor's obviously out as well after his dismissal at the weekend. To lose those two, how big a blow is it? Because they're key players for this team.
Yeah, it's massive. A big part of the decision in bringing Michael in after only, 60 minutes in the reserve game for the first time in 6 weeks was he is a big player. He's an A-game player for us. And we thought if we can get 70, 75 minutes out of Michael, it's 70 minutes of an A-game player as opposed to 90 minutes maybe of a B-game player. So to lose two of them is a blow. And, you know, we have a real opportunity. I've always said for a few weeks now that end of October was the benchmark. And to be in that top group, I felt if we were in it at the end of October, Andy, we'd be in it in April. And, you know, a win tomorrow night would take us a long way to putting us in that top group before we go to Leighton Orient. I think if we got three tomorrow night and anything at all at Leighton Orient, it would see us in that top group. But obviously when you're missing your big players, we're already missing Worrell, who was a big signing for us. Claude Davis, we've missed Mickey for a long time. We missed Arneson because of internationals. We've never really seemed to have a consistency where we can get our best team on the pitch. And it's no secret that a little bit, two or three weeks ago, when we could get our best 11 on the pitch, we win games and we win them very comfortably.
So it's more changes again. I mean, you had to change within the game on Saturday, both forced and enforced as well, didn't you? So you're going to have to make more changes again for Tranmere.
Well, we have no option. And only disappointment. I think I've missed the deadline myself for signing. I might be on the pitch. No, listen, we may be a player or two short in terms of totality and what we could have on our bench tomorrow night. But I'm not going to go down the road of putting kids on the bench and for the sake of having numbers on there. We send false hope to kids and parents. And it's no bit experience. They only get experience. For example, the boy Rowe gets experience because ultimately he will play in our first team. So he's entitled to sit there and get that experience. So we're all hands on deck, and it's a big game for us, but we're not going to be going back down the road as club was before I came, that we'll sign a player and they don't train, don't see anyone and he plays. Those days should be gone. And we've still got enough experienced players in the camp. We can move different people around. We can move Arneson around. We can bring Michael Tidzer in, who's probably been knocking on the door for a few weeks for a game. We can move Ben Pringle inside. I don't see why we you know, Rob Mielsen's been terrific. He was back somewhere near his best for spells Saturday. So we do still have lots of options.
Let's round up a couple of things from Saturday, shall we? Do you expect any follow-up? I mean, you were sent to the stands at half-time at the weekend. Do you expect to hear some comeback from that?
Well, I've spoken to the match referee, Bobby Madley, this morning with a real professional conversation, if I can use that word. And from what he described, from what he's written, and if any further action's taken, then I would be surprised. I think privately he would be surprised. He's put me up for shouting loudly in the tunnel. He has confirmed, despite what one or two people said, he has confirmed what I said on Saturday. There is no foul language in his report. There is no abusive language. It's me shouting loudly. If that's the benchmark, I hope there's no singing tomorrow night.
One of the other bigger issues, if not, well, I won't say it's the biggest issue, missed chances, Alex Revelle. He said on Saturday he's low on confidence. Does he need pulling out the firing line right now?
Well, sometimes you always, as a manager, you consider everything, whether he needs to be pulled out the firing line or whether you show further confidence by keeping him in there. But, you know, I think the one thing you get with Alec Revelle, if you go and speak to any opposition team, they don't want to play against the kid. I was with a number of managers last night at the Northern Sports Writers Awards evening, and a number of managers I spoke to spoke very, very complimentary about Alec Revelle, and all said the same thing as me. If the kid got goals, he'd be in a top championship club. Mm-hmm. And I mean at the top end, not scrapping for the life at the bottom end. But he's low in confidence, because when you miss a succession of chances, that's what happens as a striker.
So how do you deal with that then?
Well, ultimately, he has to work himself through it. We can present games and training where he can score 5 and 6 goals, and it's no different to England as a country when they keep practicing penalties and keep getting beat when penalty shootouts. Because when you practice on the training ground, it doesn't give you the real sensation of a match, and it doesn't give you the pressures of a match, and it don't give the goalkeepers who's against you that real spark as well to make you save or a defender to block it. So he has to work himself through it, but keeping focused, keeping disciplined and working hard on the games and hope chances come. And, you know, the only one slight disappointment I had of Alex is in his last chance on Saturday, he decided to pass up on a chance. And I think strikers and goal scorers should never, the best strikers in the world miss vivid games. Robbie Fowler had a game when I watched him, he missed 5 or 6, and the following game he got a hat-trick because he don't stop going back in. And he's, if you're willing to miss, you'll always get goals.
But do you get that sense about Alex right now? I mean, you've got options there as well, haven't you, with Tom Eaves obviously in the squad?
Yeah, and I thought Tom was excellent second half. A different type of performance, because we've gone down to 10 men, so it wasn't about us being making a succession of chances, but I think he's a big reason why we got back in the game, to be fair. And I think those the two Milton Keynes centre-backs got a tough time, and I know from speaking to them kids afterwards, he thought his centre-backs got a more hiding in the second half than what they've had in any other game this season. So, you know, Tom's been knocking on the door, but every time we've thought seriously about starting him, he's either been ill or he's been missing or whatever it is. So, you know, we'll certainly have an opportunity in the next week or two to let him start again.
So, Tranmere then, what do you make of them right now?
Well, statistics don't lie in the sense of where they are, but I watched them myself just over a week ago up at Bradford, and they went up there and people would think, was that a 1-0 Sunday afternoon smash and grab? It was far from it. It was a deserved 1-0 victory that could have been 3. And all bar a bit of late pressure from Bradford and added time where they're going to throw centre-backs forward and launch balls into, I think Bradford launched balls into the box anyway. But they launched them in more often. And Tranmere stood up to that. So it'll be tough. They'll be well-organised, well-spirited. Ronnie will have such a desire with his team to come and get something here, and they've got the boy up top who can get a goal for them.
It's a situation, though, where they're conceding an awful lot of goals. Yeah, I know they played Leighton Orient on Saturday and they're flying right now, but all the stats point to the fact they've got a terrible defensive record here. You must see this as a golden opportunity to get 3 points here.
Well, it is a golden opportunity because we're at home. That's the first thing. I think when you have to break down the stats. I think when you look at Saturday against Leighton Orient, they go down to 10 men. I think when Peterborough got up there and route them, they go down to 10 men. And if I'm being right, I think against Brentford in the 5-4 game where Brentford scored last kick after Tranmere equalised, they're against 10. They've got 10 men. So I think the first thing Ronnie will be keen on is keeping 11 men on the pitch to give them a chance. And we're thinking that ourselves after Saturday. So the stats are actually misleading as far as I'm concerned. And when they've conceded a few goals, they'll be organised and they'll be strong. But for us, the first goal's important. If we can get our noses in front, we've got some good players here, and let's see if we can get that 3 points that pops us back in that top group. We're a point out it. We need to be back in it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that a couple of times now. So how crucial a period do you think this is then, just in re-establishing Rotherham United again as being one of the contenders there to have a push at the playoffs this year?
Well, we've never said we're a contender for the playoffs this year. We've said that we've left that talking to others. But I think the more and more we go into League One, Milton Keynes are self-proclaimed under Carl Robinson a contender for the playoffs. I think we're certainly equal to that as a team. And what you'll not get from us is removing ourselves from situations that we're not even in. So from our point of view, it's about working hard tomorrow night. If we get 3 points, I've said to you, we would go down to play the league leaders on Saturday, knowing that a point would leave us in the top group at the end of October. And I think if we're in the top group at the end of October, Andy. I genuinely think with the business that we're doing between now and in January and strengthening and shaping our squad, the meetings I've had with the chairman are very positive, and I think we'll be there in April.
So plans are already formulating for ins and outs for then, are they?
Listen, we agreed a very, very decent fee for a player last midweek, but Paul Douglas couldn't get it over the line in respect to personal terms. And I've always got the utmost respect for that the chairman here has always talked about, he invests millions, doesn't he? But he's always spoke about getting value for money. He's a typical Yorkshireman, same as a Scotsman, last at the bar. And he's the opposite, he's first at the bar. Mm-hmm. But when he gets there, when he gets his money out, he wants to get a value. He wants to have a nice glass of wine, or he wants to have a nice cold beer. He don't want any beer or any glass of wine. He wants a nice one, value for money. And we have to get value for money for every player we bring into the football club.
So I wonder if, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is perhaps a priority then to find somebody to get those goals more regularly, to maybe propel you into the leading group of contenders this year? Because defensively, things look fairly solid when everybody plays. Midfield's done exceptionally well, hasn't it? And, well, we're going to revert again, I suppose, to chances not taken at times this season.
Well, you only had to look at Saturday. You know what I mean? I think Saturday, the first half hour, reminded me, and I think it probably reminded our supporters, of the Swindon game. We lost 4-0 against Swindon. You can't go out and tell people it's no watch the game, that we should have been 3 or 4 up after 30 minutes. Because what they'll do is they'll get you a white jacket, they'll tie you very tight in it, they've got a little white van, little guy with a suit on, and they'll take you away and you won't see you for a while. And when we're watching the game at Milton Keynes, Milton Keynes started for 5-10 minutes. We changed very quickly tactically. And for 25 minutes, that rocked them. We had them on the ropes. We made chance after chance, probably counting on the DDD, 4 one-on-ones with the goalkeeper. And you have to take them. We've stepped up a level, you know, and we can't wait to win games in the second half. We need to be getting our noses in front. And this group has always shown, when they get their noses in front, they relax a little bit more, but the more quality comes out. And let's be honest, when we go in front, we normally take teams apart, League One or League Two, it doesn't matter. Mm.
And just finally, I know a lot of water's passed under the bridge, but obviously Ronnie Moore is a legend of this football club, player and manager. Does that put a bearing on this game for you as the current manager?
No, because we've had a good relationship prior to me coming to the Millers, and had a real wonderful relationship with him last year. And at times when I had down days, Ronnie was always there. And that was at a time where this guy had started flying at the top of the league, and I was there in some of his down days as he was coming back down the league in League One. So, you know, he's been texting me all last week looking for tickets for his family and friends. And I told him, and I text Ronnie back, if I get a complimentary ticket for every one of your friends, we'll be 38,000 at the New York on Tuesday night. He had a little chuckle. He'll get a very, very warm and genuine reception from the people of Rotherham. He lives in the town, and Steve Evans would be the first to join in that applause, because I don't agree with everybody who gets an applause when they come here. I think our fans are overly generous, but this guy, get to the front of the queue. You deserve it, Ronnie.